Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today I'm talking about, well, seeing as we're just getting a new Transformers movie, I figured let's go back to something Transformers related. And it just so happens that I decided to revisit Beast Wars, which is a major part of the new movie. The new movie being Transformers Rise of the Beast. And yes, it's essentially supposed to be Beast Wars meets Transformers. So for those of you who are unaware of Beast Wars, it's essentially Transformers, but instead it takes place years into the future. In fact, it's like centuries into the future. And instead of turning into robots, they're robots, but instead of the robots turning into cars, they turn into animals. You have on the one hand the Maximals, which are the new Autobots. And then you have the Predacons, which are the new Decepticons. Pretty easy to follow, right? So Beast Wars. This was a show that was around in the late 90s. This was a show that I saw way back when I was in kindergarten. When it was new, I was obsessed with the show. My personal favorite character was Rattrap, who sadly is not in the new movie. And it's the toy I always wanted, to the point that I would bug my parents to get it, and I never ended up getting it until I reached adulthood. In fact, I don't know if you can actually see it, but I actually do have Rattrap right over here, both in his standard and Transmetal form. Transmetal being a whole thing that they introduced later in the show. It's basically like, okay, now the animals that they transform into are pretty much more robotic looking, which kind of defeats the purpose of them being in disguise. But realistically, the whole disguise thing is different in this show. See, the thing about this show is that whereas the characters do go into disguise mode, it's not because they're trying to blend in with society. Like, of course, that does end up helping them out, and not really a lot of situations from what I remember. But from what I do remember, it's like, okay, sometimes they can blend in with certain animals, but it doesn't really matter in the long run, just because as far as we see in the show, there's not a whole lot of creatures in this world. Part of that is because of a budget thing, but the other thing is just that it is supposed to be like, okay, this is a fairly weird distant planet that's full of life, sure, but it isn't like advanced life or anything. It's just a bunch of animals and whatnot. I don't know if it's ever really established throughout the show, but, you know, it almost feels like they traveled back in time to an Earth where people hadn't been around yet. But again, I don't entirely know whether or not that's ever been fully established, especially since you have some of the characters being dinosaurs on the bad guy side. So that's actually kind of a cool thing, is that once again, you got the heroes being animals that are normally considered more friendly or at least more peaceful, whereas the villains are normally, you know, like dinosaurs or insects, pretty much like the creatures that most people find dangerous. And that's kind of a basic setup, but it is something where it's like, yeah, that's kind of effective for what they're doing. And yeah, it is a basic setup. The big difference here from the Transformers iteration of this series is that, and here at the start of it, it's supposed to be like, okay, we've actually been at peace for a while now. There's no actual war between the Maximals and Predacons. And essentially, we're assumed to believe that Megatron is really just, in this version, is really just like a renegade Predacon who's just trying to restart the war. Again, we don't really learn much about the Predacons beyond the characters that we know. As far as I remember, we can assume that maybe he's just an outlier, kind of like if you've ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, where, you know, you have the Kree and the, you know, have Ronan trying to destroy Xandar, and like the Kree aren't really about that anymore, but at the same time they're like, yeah, that's your problem. That kind of seems to be the gist of what we get out of Megatron and his Predacon faction. But yeah, Beast Wars, thing I saw as a kid, and you can definitely tell the animation is not good in this. But to be fair, this was CG animation in the late 90s, for TV on top of that. And yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that it was good even back then, especially because we had stuff like Toy Story already out. I mean, by the time this show ended, we had already gone up to Toy Story 2, so CG animation was definitely a lot better in theaters, but to its credit, it's like, look, this was still expensive tech, and it was also kind of what made the show good. I'm going to get into that in a bit. Like I said, it's not really all that amazing to look at, but at the same time, you gotta at least marvel at the fact of seeing how far we've come. For what it's worth, you know, I've heard some people say, like, oh, it's like an eyesore, it's really bad to look at, and I'm like, I mean, look, it's not great looking animation, but I'm not gonna act like, you know, it's gonna give me a headache just looking at this for, you know, a few hours of the day or whatever. It looks, you know, dated, sure, but it's charming for what it is. It's not good, but it's efficient. You can tell what's going on. A lot of it is kind of laughable because you see a lot of animation just clipping through or characters having dead-eyed expressions. There's a lot of characters that just are very stiff, and you can tell that a lot of the writing is built around this, which is why, yeah, this show kind of owes its thanks to this, because from my understanding, like, and this is something that you'll know with a lot of the older Transformers shows, I don't know how much it's changed over with the recent ones. I know, like, the only one I've ever really seen of the more recent Transformers shows was from the last decade, called Transformers Prime, and that one, I mean, it was a good show, but I know that one was also kind of limited in terms of what they would do with it. But with this one, because of how expensive the tech was, they were like, okay, we can't do the same thing we did with the original show, where we'd have like a rotating cast of like villains and heroes alongside, you know, the main ones. We're gonna have to stick to like four or five good guys, and then, like, you know, the same amount for like the bad guys. They would introduce new characters every now and then, but usually at the cost of one or two characters getting killed off. So there was a lot of drama for that, and a lot of the story's stakes came from just like, okay, who's gonna survive in the team, who's gonna, you know, leave, who's not, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was to a point where like the first two seasons of the show, from what I remember, ended in cliffhangers where it was not really certain whether or not the good guys would even come out on top. And again, this was a result of the animation not being so good, because they were like, well, we can't do all these different characters, you know, in this show, because we're so limited, and if we do have an extra character or two, it's gonna be a limited time thing, just so we don't kill the budget. So as a result, a lot of the story was centered around these same characters and seeing how they would progressively grow throughout the seasons. It's not to the extent of like modern shows that have like the whole episodic thing where they're basically like doing, like, you know, every episode is building towards like the end game of the show, the plot, or anything like that. Like, you still had like a bunch of episodes where it was just like, okay, this was like a one and done episode, but there was like a continuing story going along with it, with characters having their arcs that made it so fascinating. And this was on top of the show still having, I want to say, like, generic kid toy writing, because as much as I enjoyed it, and especially rewatching the first episodes, which is what I'm going to be talking about, it's pretty clear that you still got like the stuff where it's like, okay, these characters are just doing stuff because they're toys. Like, you know, throughout the first two episodes, and I don't remember if this is a thing every episode afterwards, I know the characters saying, like, basically you have like the Maxim will say their name, and then Maximize, and then you have the Predacon saying their name and terrorize, and then that's when they transform. I know they still do that later in the show, but what I'm basically like, okay, I'm not sure if they still do that, is just with this show, with these first two episodes, pretty much you get a montage of each of the characters transforming at the same time, and it gets tiresome to hear that again and again. But then on top of that, you also have like the ending of the second episode, because this is a two-part intro to give you an idea of what's going on. The ending of the first episode basically has Optimus Primal, which is, you know, Optimus Prime, basically saying, like, oh, this is what I declare the Beast Wars. And it's like, yeah, that's a good way to bring in the title of the show. But yeah, you get a lot of stuff like that. And it is a hokey, you know, written show. Because it at the end of the day, it is a show that is made to sell toys. But because of the limitations that the animation brought, you get surprisingly good writing, which is kind of funny. It's like, you know, how often is that the case for these things where it's like, you know, the show itself is a toy, you know, commercial, but they stupidly chose a certain thing that ballooned the budget in a certain way that resulted in like, okay, we actually have to do good writing now. Otherwise, no one's going to watch this stuff to buy it. But yeah, so we do the first episode. And again, it's the same setup as pretty much any Transformers thing. You know, you got your good guys, you got your bad guys. The good guys, the Maximals, who at the start of the show, they're pretty much just supposed to be going out, I guess, traveling across the galaxy just to look for different things. They're not really meant for battle, as they point out. These good guys are consisting of Optimus Primal, Cheetor, which is like the young rebellious guy. You have Rhinox, which is pretty much like the second in command for the most part, the one that is more level-headed. And then you got Rattrap, who, again, my favorite character, who is pretty much the more smart aleck, cowardly character, who's kind of like more aware of like, dude, are we really doing this stuff? I will admit that watching it again as an adult, there were at times where I kind of wanted to smack him around. But to be fair, for as much as there was stuff where it got kind of annoying, it did create some interesting drama and actually made it a little more interesting, because it showed that at least there were some characters who were willing to stand up to the leader of the group, Optimus, and call him out on this horrible situation that they're now in, basically being like, dude, I don't really want to follow you if this is how bad everything's gotten so far. And in the end, he still essentially follows up on being a part of the team, even though he's kind of forced into it, which, again, could be kind of annoying, but it is kind of interesting, especially considering for a kid's show, especially one that has a very defined good and bad guy character set up, because it kind of showcases like, okay, look, we could have easily made this like the good guy who ends up becoming one of the bad guys characters, but instead, you know, even though he's a coward, even though he's constantly complaining, he's not. He's still, at the end of the day, a good guy. So it does create that interesting dynamic where, despite being, you know, all these negative things and having the traits of essentially being a bad guy, and like in many ways, I kind of feel like, whereas the, you know, Transformers has Starscream with Megatron, and this, at least going by these first two episodes, I'm pretty sure he tones it down by the later ones, but I could be wrong. You have Rattrap and Optimus Primal, where he's not necessarily trying to take over as the leader, but at the same time, he's pretty much so done with everything that he doesn't want to follow the leader. So it's an interesting dynamic. It is funny for the most part, even if some of it can get a little annoying at times. I won't go through the whole villain group because they're pretty much more one note. But yeah, essentially you got Megatron, and I know there's the whole joke about him constantly saying yes. You have Dinobot, who at first you think he's going to be like the Starscream of the group, because he's even challenging Megatron for leadership, but he gets quickly knocked out and instead decides like, okay, you know what, I'm going to switch sides over to the Maximals. At first he's pretty much just like, oh, I'm just going to challenge the leader and take over as the leader to get revenge, but you see the little progression of him basically becoming a Maximal after the fact, which again adds to the interesting layer of this show where some bad guys could become good guys. And then on top of that, you have like the various assistants. You got, you know, Wasbinator, which I remember being kind of like the joke of the group. yeah, like Tarantulas, Scorponok, and just a bunch of other ones. These characters eventually do widow out. Some of them, you know, just do not survive certain events of later in the show, but for the most part, it's like, okay, they're kind of just one-note characters here. And it's not necessarily bad because it is more focused on the hero group, but it is something to consider, especially if you're interested in, you know, like the villains dynamic. Most of them are just kind of forgettable in these first two episodes, which again is just them crash landing, kind of setting up the whole general idea of the show. Like, basically, it's mentioned that in this planet, they have what's known as Energon, which is the thing that fuels them and a bunch of other stuff, but it has so much of it that it's the reason why they have to be animals, because that's the only way they can come in contact with a lot of the stuff without basically getting overpowered by the stuff, which again, it adds an interesting idea of like, okay, this is why they're still disguising themselves, even if they're not really necessary. Like, there's no real reason to it. And it has a whole aspect of it. Like, okay, if they're in robot form too long and, you know, while they're fighting, it'll result in them basically dying, so to speak. So that's why they have to kind of plan out how they turn into robots, how they turn into animals, and all that stuff. And like I said, you know, it's a very simple plot line. Like the first episode is just setting that up. The second episode is adding more of the drama to it. Like, it starts off with Dinobot challenging Optimus. They fight. The Predacons find them. They try to take advantage of the situation. And in trying to take advantage of the situation, they end up finding a whole mountain full of this Energon stuff. So it becomes a race of like, okay, you know, the heroes and the bad guys, you know, going on their own ways, trying to get to that mountain to get all this stuff, because of course all that fuel is necessary. And along the way, you have the various Maximals basically distrusting Dinobot, because he of course comes along with him, while Optimus is basically trying to convince everyone like, look, he's with us at this point, you should trust him. Again, it's kind of it's typical Optimus stuff, like if you've ever seen any Transformer stuff where he's, you know, like the honorable leader, but it is still kind of cool just having that set up in this version where Optimus is still willing to trust an enemy just because he could see, like, okay, the fact that he wasn't doing certain things shows that there is some respect in there. They eventually get to the mountain and, you know, fighting, and you really don't need this explained, right? Like, it is pretty much every Transformer show ever, but what makes it stand out is just the character interactions and the fact that there is actual development between characters. It's not just, you know, robots, you know, good robot, bad robot fighting with no real change in character. And because, you know, again, they're limited in terms of what characters they can use, that means that they can't just hit reset every single episode. Because while there was definitely an array of, you know, unique Transformers, a lot of them, their personalities would pretty much be either non-existent or the same as one or the other, just because, well, hey, we have to pretty much use the same characters. I mean, we don't have to use the same characters all the time. In this case, because they had to use the same characters, it results in a whole thing where it's like, yeah, they're pretty much going to have to rely on doing interesting stuff with it. It's great stuff. It does make me want to watch the rest of the show, which you can easily find on YouTube. I don't know if there's physical copies of this out. I think there is, but I don't know if it's so easy to find at this point. I do kind of hope that it is, especially with the new movie that's coming out, but I'm not holding out my hopes for it. I will say that, again, this does make me want to watch the rest of it, so I do want to, like, if I can't find the physical copies, I will definitely watch the rest of it on YouTube. If I find the physical copies, I'll probably just get that. But for the most part, it does set up just how wonderful of a show this was. So if you're a Transformers fan, you should definitely check it out. I know if you're around my age, you've probably already seen it, but it's still one of those things where it's like, yeah, watch it if you've never seen it and you're a Transformers fan. It is one of the better written stuff, and I know the animation is going to be hard to get through for some of you people. I would say just try to stomach it. It is a well-done story once you get past that. And while there is still some cheap writing, because it is supposed to be a toy, just know that for as much cheap writing as there is, there's a lot more good writing throughout this. It's definitely a highlight amongst Transformers stuff, and it's one that I'm glad I decided to revisit for this, just because aside from unlocking a bunch of nostalgic memories of watching it as a kid in kindergarten, it just really reminds me, like, okay, yeah, there's a reason why stuff like this gets beloved. It's because even if it's not the greatest thing in the world, there is actual talent behind it. And that alone is just worth revisiting, just to see what exactly worked, what didn't work, and why in the end it doesn't even really matter how much of it didn't work, because the stuff that's good just created a whole experience unto itself. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again next time.
Let the battle be here on this strange primitive world, and let it be called Beast Wars!
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.